Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
With the May 25th presidential elections in Ukraine now just behind us, Sergei Plokhy joins us this morning, where he is professor of history and director of the Ukrainian Research Institute at Harvard University. He is also author of the new book, The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union, in which he draws on recently declassified documents and original interviews with key participants to present a new interpretation of the Soviet Union's final months. It is a great pleasure to welcome Sergei Plokhy to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, hello, Joe. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, looking at the elections that took place over the weekend, where do you think we are now when it comes to the situation in Ukraine?
We are in a much better place than we were, let's say, 1 week ago. So finally, Ukraine has a legitimately elected president. And that gives certainly a very different perspective to the events that are happening now in Ukraine. So there is someone that will take office apparently in early June who is very much in support of those changes that were introduced and started to be introduced in Ukraine after the Maidan events and the revolution in earlier this year. And also someone who I believe can talk not only to the European Union, but also someone who can talk to Moscow, Kremlin, to Russian officials like President Putin.
With the election of Petro Poroshenko and the firefight that has erupted there, the seizing of the airport, The new president has vowed to suppress separatist violence in the East. How successful do you think he can be in that effort?
Well, the newly elected president said that he is prepared to talk to people who are concerned about their rights, linguistic rights, cultural rights, but he is not going to yield to those who just want trouble, who want to create, as he said, Somalia out of eastern Ukraine. Well, the response to the attempts of the pro-Russian separatists to take over the airport in Donetsk was really very forceful. So it seems to me, the most successful operation of Ukrainian military in weeks, if not months. And I wonder to what degree this is also a reflection that the military feel themselves now to be much more confident and sure about what the government is, what the government policy will be in coming weeks and months.
There does seem to be, according to media reports, that there has been very much a change of tune when it comes to the presence of the new president, Poroshenko, as far as this was a man who just a month ago was called money-grubbing and a sympathizer and a run-of-the-mill Ukrainian politician. When do you think we started to see things change over the last month, and what did President Putin of Russia have to do with that, do you believe?
Russia did, I understand, whatever was possible without breaking really or further deteriorating relations with Europe to derail Ukrainian elections. So that was Russia's policy over the last few weeks. And certainly it didn't work. So the elections didn't take place in some regions, in 2 out of 24 Ukrainian regions or oblasts. In the rest of Ukraine, elections took place, and more than that, the turnout was really very, very high, 60%, maybe over 60%, much higher than usually at Ukrainian elections, either parliamentary or presidential. So there is a consolidation of the country around the government, around the new leader, and that is happening against the wishes of Mr. Putin. We can see also that tone in Moscow is changing now a little bit. I don't see actions changing, but certainly tone is changing, and there is more statements that would point into the direction of the dialogue and some level of cooperation with new authorities in Kyiv.
You were raised in Russia, educated in Ukraine and the United States. As I mentioned, your new book is The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. You very much key in to that time period in August of 1991. Why is that important to put in context, given what we're going through right now?
Well, I look at the events unfolding now in Ukraine as a continuation, really, of the story that began in 1991 with the disintegration of the Soviet Union. One of the arguments that I make in the book is that the Soviet Union fell apart largely because the ruling elites of two largest Soviet republics, Russia and Ukraine, could not agree on modus vivendi and the conditions for continuing in one unified state. And the best what they could agree on was the Commonwealth of Independent States, and then the rest of the republics had to follow the path of Russia and Ukraine and join the Commonwealth. Russia at that time, and not only President Boris Yeltsin, but also the President of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, were looking at the results of the Ukrainian referendum of December 91, and specifically at the vote in the Crimea and Donbass. The majority of the population back then voted for Ukrainian independence, and that precluded a kind of a nightmarish scenario that many people predicted, a war between Russia and Ukraine. But it looks like that now Russia is using its new military might to rewrite the history of the Soviet Union, and certainly we saw Russian invasion of the Crimea and now intervention in eastern parts of Ukraine and in Donetsk region or Donbass in particular. So from that point of view, again, this is something that not a new theme. The Russian-speaking majorities or ethnic Russian majorities in the Crimea and Donbass and trying to play these groups either to stop Ukraine's drive toward independence like it was in 1991 or now to stop Ukraine's drive toward closer to the European Union.
The collapse of the Soviet Union, of course, was very quickly picked up by the United States, as you write about in the book. They took responsibility. They attributed it to the collapse to American policies and claimed the mantle of world superpower. You argue in the book that this was a gross misjudgment.
Yes, indeed. I put the history of the Soviet collapse not only into the context of the Cold War, which was certainly an important factor and important background to the entire story, but largely into the context of the disintegration of the world empires, European empires, that take place in the 20th century, starting with the Habsburg Empire, Ottoman Empire, British Empire, French, Portuguese, and so on and so forth. And from that point of view, it was the internal crisis and the conflict between different republics within the Soviet Union that were the driving force behind the disintegration of the Soviet Union. The United States contributed to the fact, but not in the way that maybe many of listeners and future readers of my book would expect to contribute. Till the very end, or almost till the very end, till late November of 1991, the U.S. administration was doing almost everything in its power in terms of diplomatic means to keep the Soviet Union alive, to keep the Soviet Union going, And there were some good reasons for that. The main one was the concern that the disintegration of the Soviet Union could turn into the civil war. The civil war between, including Russia and Ukraine, that at that time, not only Russia, but also Ukraine was nuclear power. So there were four Soviet republics that had nuclear arsenals. So that was the main concern of the President George H.W. Bush's administration. And for a long period of time, the policy was not to help the Soviet Union into early grave, but to keep the Soviet Union going.
Meanwhile, you write about in the book that after letting the republics go, that Russia was looking to bring them back into a Moscow-run sphere of influence, and ultimately that Putin's policy has its roots going way back to 1991.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we see actually in 1991 is the very conscious decision of the Russian leadership, Boris Yeltsin and people around him, that Russia didn't have enough resources to keep the empire going, to keep the Soviet Union going. From that point of view, the same calculations were made by any other ruling elite in any other major European empire in the 20th century. So, but the decision was made that approximately in 20 years, and we are around that period in time, Russia will be strong again, and the republics would come back. So the idea was that the republics would leave the Union, but their independence would be really limited in a sense that Russia would continue to maintain its control, political, military, economic, over the post-Soviet space. And that would mean that so-called independent republics, their independence would be limited. What we see today is exactly the situation where the leadership of Russia decided that Ukrainian independence should end at the point when Ukrainians decided to move closer to the European Union. And this is something that is unacceptable to Kremlin as of today. So again, I see clear parallels, and not only parallels with 1991, but also that the thinking that was formulated back then, emerged back then, it is really at play now.
So if Russia is looking to begin this reintegration, why start with Ukraine? Why is that the place to start?
Well, the reason is that Ukraine was very important for the existence or continuing existence or disintegration of the Soviet Union as the second largest republic after Russia. So today, Russia started this reintegration, not recreation of the Soviet Union, but reintegration of the post-Soviet space under its leadership, with Belarus and with Kazakhstan and a number of other republics. But without getting back the strongest, the richest, the biggest republic of the Soviet Union, getting it back into the Russian economic space, Russian-controlled economic space, the customs union or military alliance, that reintegrationist project will not succeed. And that's why, as Ukraine was important back in 1991, it is important again for any Russian plans of either dissolving the Union or bringing the Union back.
We talk a little bit about the ideas that are coming back now that had their roots in 1991, and we've also been talking about the U.S. policies, and I guess I'm interested, when it comes to the U.S., do you think we've learned our lesson, and do you see positive aspects to how we are dealing with the situation in the United States?
Well, one thing that misinterpretation of the history of the fall of the Soviet Union did was that the leadership in the United States considered itself through the 1990s to be really all-powerful, that it was believed that it was the American policies that led to the disintegration of the Cold War rival. And that meant that there was no other power and there was very few things in the world that could stop the United States of America. And that kind of thinking led actually to the intervention in Iraq. And what happened in Iraq after that was had a major sobering effect on the way in which the United States are approaching the world and world affairs in general. And we see that also in the way how the current Russian-Ukrainian conflict and the Ukrainian crisis is being handled in Washington. What can be learned from the way how President George H.W. Bush dealt with the Soviet Union back in 1991 and applied today is that Bush was successful in keeping the republics or the Soviet Union fallen into this internal conflict by getting on board West European countries and West European leaders. So he became a spokesperson for the entire Western world, and what he was saying really mattered a lot. And when you look today at the relations between the United States and closest allies in Europe, there is certainly no that kind of unity. And without that kind of unity and common front, it would be really very difficult to influence the behavior of Mr. Putin and keep the conflict from escalating further.
Well, Sergei Polky is professor of history and director of the Ukrainian Research Institute at Harvard University. The new book is The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. It is published by Basic Books. Sergei Polky, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you sharing your expertise.
Thanks again, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. The book is published by Basic Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.